Welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by, this is like going back in a time machine. I'm joined by a friend from the way back as we approach show 400. Listen
Should
to
we
this.
Make some guests?
Okay. No, I don't even know how to introduce you. It's awesome just to see you. Laura Fitzpatrick, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so excited to be back and, you know, get to chat.
So for everyone that's listening, we're using our inside voices right now. We just can't get out of that mindset because Laura just put the kids down. So we're hoping to be a little quiet right now.
Oh my gosh. Right,
to avoid footsteps. So it's great to see you. We got a really cool show. We've got a Disney Cruise Line trip report from you.
Yes.
And it's from the Disney Wish. Yes. And it's like, oh, like the heaviest hitter of all time. Like, you know, so really cool. But before that, oh man, we got like years to catch up. Right.
Seriously. Yes. Okay.
You joined us for 300. And then prior to that, do you remember when you last joined us the year? Can you tell us the year when you last joined us?
Well, it was not long after I feel like Thomas was born. So I want to say in 2017.
You're right. 2017.
Okay.
Shame on us for not getting this put back together sooner than this, right? We've been friends all along. How did that happen?
Life happens, let me tell you.
All right. Well, let's get right into that. So give me something good in your life. What do you got?
Well, I have three boys now. So Thomas will be 6 in a couple of weeks. Colin is 3.5 and Aiden is just turned 1 and he actually started walking today. He took his first little steps across the living room floor. So that was exciting.
Yeah, your free time's completely shot. That's for sure.
I don't know what free time is. So me getting to escape for this cruise a month ago was a miracle in itself.
Okay.
So I'm still teaching full time, doing the travel agency full time, being a mom full time.
Okay.
Living life.
Where are you teaching at, Laura, if you don't mind?
Yeah, no, I'm still in the same place that I was, Piatone Junior High in Piatone, which is about an hour south of Chicago. So
nice.
Yeah, I love it. So if you're in my area, let me know.
So let's just see what else we can throw on you. Let's schedule a recording, like, to talk about your Disney cruise. But actually, this is the easy part of the day, right? This is cake compared to everything else.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so yes, the night times are my time, but last night I will tell you that I can't get the Disney Wish out of my head. So I rewatched the Disney Plus Making of the Disney Wish special again last night, and I literally was tearing up because I just want to get back on that ship.
Wow.
Can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, what an awesome opportunity. So we're going to talk about that in a second, but back to your travel agency. You're doing travel agent still, Magic for Less. Yes. And you're doing that full-time and teaching full-time and mom full-time and wife full-time. Yeah. So somewhere along the lines, one of these things is going to cause you to have a meltdown. I know this. But anyways, let's talk about travel agency. What's been the most challenging thing? Let's talk like post-pandemic, just because we have to bring a few years into it. So post-pandemic, what would you say have you struggled with or have clients struggled with? Or what's been the thing that you're like, do you have anything at all?
I will say this is my 10th year with the Magic for Less Travel. I can't believe that in itself. I've been on a steady incline with, you know, getting clients and booking trips. I feel like if there was a graph with a slope on it, it would be a steady, steady slope from 2013. And I will say, you know, 2020, we had a lot of cancellations, obviously. But 2021 and 2022 ended up being my best years ever. And I think it's just because people were ready to get back into it. I don't know, like throughout the pandemic, I think the hardest thing was just the canceling because nobody wanted to cancel.
Yeah.
But I guess here's a story. In December over New Year's Eve, we know we had that Southwest debacle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the hardest things I had to do recently was I had to cancel a guest's Disneyland vacation because Southwest could not get them out of Chicago to Los Angeles. And it was just heartbreaking. You know, I was crying on the phone with the guest. The guest was crying with me on the phone with the guest because this had been such a long time planning. It was a 25th wedding anniversary trip. And Southwest said, you know, yeah, we can get you out on January 2nd. Okay, well, great. The guest is supposed to come home on January 1st. So, I mean, and that was out of, you know, my control, out of everybody's control. So it just was heartbreaking. So I guess that's the hardest thing I've had to deal with.
That would be rough lately, too.
Yeah.
That is completely out of everyone's control. It was the computer system, the reservation system, the lack of flight operators. And
And it affected everyone everywhere. Yeah. So it just was so sad.
Yeah. Well, give me the opposite. What's been the most rewarding thing since the pandemic? Because I'm only saying the pandemic only because it gives a couple of years to kind of encompass it. So give me the most rewarding thing you've felt since then.
I feel like for my guests, they've been booking more cruises, and I've always had the cruising bug in me. So getting to share that joy with them and finally convincing some guests to, you know what, this is what you need to do. And then they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, why haven't I cruised sooner?
Yeah,
exactly. I know.
Exactly.
So,
all right. Well, that's outstanding. And I'm really proud of you to see that line go north, because I know in the pandemic, a lot of people decided, well, maybe this isn't for me. There's a lot of cancellations and there's a lot of extra stressors in people's life. And they just figured, let's reduce stress where we can. So, God bless.
I mean, it's hard when you have to deal with some of those not so nice things with cancellations and refunds and, you know, all that stuff. It's not always puppies and kittens, as I say, with my students. But, you know, there's pros and cons everywhere. But the pros definitely outweigh the cons. And I love it. I can't imagine not doing this, especially with my agency. I feel like we're one of the best. We got a good team. So.
Well, let's segue into the show here. But before we do, let's just reintroduce you to people. So Laura Fitz, Peter Ponicorvo, and I started the Dubs back in 2015. So Laura she's an OG, an OG Dubs host, right? Yeah. And so in order to kind of, I would say, reacquaint you with everybody, and because we've had a lot of new listeners join, let's just go through a few quick Disney questions so people can at least have a frame of reference. So favorite park?
Oh, that depends on the day, doesn't it? For everybody?
Right? Kind of it does.
I don't know. I switch between Magic Kingdom and Epcot all the time.
Okay.
Just because, I don't know. I'll tell you this. Last month I had one day. I had one park day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? And I did have the Hopper. So I started my day at Magic Kingdom and then I ended at Epcot.
Okay. That's a very, very political answer. You got one ticket, right? No park hopper, one ticket. Where are you going?
Magic Kingdom. When you word it that way, then there's my answer.
Right. You know what though? You are right though. It does matter. You pick a day, and like, if you got one park day, but you see like rain and like, it's going to be a terrible day, your choice is different. If you're there because you want to eat and have great food and you might want to, you know, have a few drinks, you're different. If you're there and you got one chance and you're a Star Wars fan, your answer is different, you know?
So, well, and I will say this too. I only had the one day, and if I didn't have the park hopper, I would have done Epcot because I wanted to experience Guardians of the Galaxy because I hadn't up until that day.
Right.
So that was a priority for my, you know, that one day I had at Disney World before the cruise.
Okay. Let me pause the next questions. Guardians of the Galaxy, phenomenal, right?
Oh.
Just phenomenal.
Okay. The entire time I was literally saying, oh my God, oh my God. Oh my God. The entire time. I just couldn't believe it. Disney Imagineering at its finest. If you have not experienced Guardians of the Galaxy, stop what you're doing and book a trip to Disney World because you need to go.
Exactly.
I couldn't believe it. And I'm so glad I didn't know anything about it other than there's a chance I could have been nauseous. So I just made sure I didn't eat anything before, but I'm so glad I didn't research anything.
You know what? Me too. I didn't research. I mean, I knew in theory, we've seen the videos where the car kind of spins around in the track from the Disney Imagineers, you know, in the introductory video, but that was it until after you leave it, you're like, oh my God, you know,
the ride photo is literally me with my mouth open. I know I was saying, oh my God, and my hands are up in the air.
Okay.
It was so good.
All right. So let's go back here. Your favorite attraction.
Well, it was Splash Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So now, well, it was always a toss up between Splash and Tower of Terror. So now I guess my official answer would be Tower of Terror.
Tower of Terror. Okay. Yes. Your favorite quick service option. Any of the parks, any of the resorts.
I think my gut said Kisatuli Canteen at Animal Kingdom.
Hmm.
It's very unique.
Okay. Your favorite option, regardless of quick service or fine dining, that nobody else knows about.
I mean, everybody knows about this one, but I feel like it's underrated. The Hollywood Brown Derby at Hollywood Studios.
Okay. Okay. Mickey ears or pin lanyard? Which one are you picking?
Pin lanyard, I think.
Are you into
pin trading? Even though I really don't have one.
Okay.
I'm not pin trading, but pin collecting.
Pin collecting. Okay.
Yeah.
Do the boys have pin lanyards yet? Do they do pin trading?
No.
Hmm.
Don't so worry, I feel like they, well, I feel like they're little, and their last trip was in March of 2021, where we were still wearing masks.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, Colin was 18 months old at the time, and Thomas was barely three. So that was just a weird trip. So they haven't been since. We're planning on June of this year to go. So I feel like, okay, good. That'll be like a good normal.
Yeah, for sure.
Trip. So
your favorite mode of Disney transportation?
Boat.
The boat.
Yes.
Okay.
I love and the boat.
The attraction that you would remove right now. So we could also say most overrated, the attraction you'd get rid of right now. And if it's not the mad tea party, I don't know. Right.
Well, I was okay. I guess the tea party, that'd be a good one. Cause I was thinking the Tomorrowland Speedway.
Okay.
But I know my boys would love that. Like, I'm going to be that person in line, waiting, smelling the fumes, wondering why I'm doing this, but it's going to be because of the boys.
it's a rite of passage for sure. And your boys are just primed for that, for that age.
Six and three and a half. That's our ride.
Your favorite resort?
Oh, Chris. Well, Port Orleans Riverside holds a special heart and place in my heart. So I think I'll go with Port Orleans Riverside.
Okay. Your favorite resort to book people into? Because they could be different for sure. I mean,
well, yeah, it depends. Can I do each category?
Sure.
Okay. Pop Century for value.
Okay.
Caribbean Beach or Port Orleans Riverside for moderate. If they really want the Skyliner, I push towards Caribbean Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Deluxe, Wilderness Lodge, or the Contemporary?
Wow, I would have figured Animal Kingdom Lodge would have come out there just based on the awe factor of people.
Animal Kingdom Lodge is the resort I do book probably more often out of the deluxes.
Okay.
And I love Animal Kingdom Lodge, but I love that proximity to Magic Kingdom, and I think that's a good selling point.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's where we're going to be staying in June, just because... Uh-huh. If you're driving to Magic Kingdom, because we'll drive from Chicago down, it can take a really long time to get from the parking lot to the gates of Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
So being able to just push that stroller 10 minutes,
especially with the age of your boys too, you want to go back for an afternoon nap. That walk, in theory, back from where Splash Mountain used to exist to where your car is, that's almost 45 minutes to an hour between that and the waiting and the ferry boat and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, okay, we won't hold this against you, but your least favorite resort.
There was a time where it was Saratoga Springs.
Okay.
But since those new room rehabs, I don't know if I can say that anymore. So I don't know if I have a least favorite resort. I really don't.
I've always argued the strength and value of Saratoga just based on the proximity to Disney Springs.
With that room rehab, I would 100% agree with that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Those rooms needed the rehab.
Yeah.
And now they're gorgeous.
Well, even prior to that, it was okay. But with that, yeah, for sure. I mean, we've seen pictures. It's phenomenal. So,
yeah.
Okay. Let's go on the let's go on the Disney cruise. Okay. Are you cool with that? Tell us all about this. How did you get a cruise without the kids? That's what I'm dying to know. Tell me this.
My husband still wants to know the same thing, by the way.
Yeah, please explain to all us dads.
I know, right? Okay. So this was a quote unquote work trip. Okay. So the Magic for Less Travel presented to the travel agents. We want to do an agent education program, which is an AEP in the acronym world, which basically just educates the agents on the travel industry's suppliers. So there was actually a Walt Disney World portion of the AEP afterwards that I could not attend because I'm a teacher and couldn't get the time off. Mm-hmm. So I could attend the cruise because it was a Friday, Monday cruise. So I didn't have to take as much time off. So while it was technically an agent education program cruise, it was a regular cruise. I just happened to travel with my travel agency friends and everything.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I paid the full amount everybody else would and, you know, didn't get any special discounts, unfortunately. but that was how mommy got away for the weekend. It was a work trip.
Nice. Quotes. We use the air quotes. Right?
Yes, right.
Okay.
It was a content gathering trip and, you know, I definitely was working on the cruise, but it was definitely a leisure trip too, as well. So
nice. So yeah. You flew down Friday and
I actually flew down on Wednesday.
On Wednesday. Okay.
Wednesday night, really, really late. We didn't get to our room till about 2 a.m. And I say we, because my two friends, Shelly and Paige, travel other agents with the Magic for Less came with. So we roomed together at All Star Movies, which I hadn't stayed at in a very long time. So that was a nice experience. And then we did one day Magic Kingdom morning, Epcot evening, because we wanted to do Guardians.
Gotcha.
So then we got on the cruise Friday, February 3rd.
Nice. So hang on. Let's go back first to your Magic Kingdom. This, you had a one day park hopper, essentially?
Yes.
That was okay. Well, no better way to tire yourself out for a cruise than go like commando, right? For
exactly.
Those, right. Did you have good weather at least for that day?
Yeah, it was actually warmer than I wanted it to be because I thought, February, you know, mm-hmm. it'll be great. And of course, well, Laura Fitzpatrick's coming down. So Florida's going to crank up the humidity.
There's been some weird fluctuations. They've had some crazy weather. We were down there in late January and it one day it was so cold we had sweaters on. The other day it was so warm we were thinking, let's go to the beach. And I was like, what in heavens is going on out here?
Well, and it was funny. So on our park day, it was in the 80s. And then on our Castaway Key day, it was in the low 70s. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, okay, great.
Yeah, exactly. Where'd you eat on your park day?
What did we do? Gosh. Oh, we had quick service at Columbia Harbor House.
Okay.
And then we actually had dinner at Akershus in Epcot because we wanted to see how the new character experience was after the reopening. And it was great.
Nice. Look at you suffering for all your people that book with you, right? All these experiences. Right?
All this research I had to do.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible seeing Jasmine and eating all this wonderful food.
The bus came and picked you up then and drove you to Port Canaveral. Is that what happened?
So we actually had a private transfer. Mm-hmm. My friend Shelly discovered this wonderful private transfer that I recommend to my guests going to and from the airport. And going to and from Port Canaveral, too. So his name is Abdel, but I have his contact information if anybody wants it. But he is great. Mm-hmm. So he has, I remember what kind of car it is. Oh, I'm going to say a Tahoe, right? Okay. The biggest SUV you can get. And it was great. So he pulled right up to the port, got out our luggage, gave our luggage to the porters, and we went right into the terminal. So
nice.
Super convenient. Yes.
Laura, definitely post that when we post the show so everyone knows. Would you say his rates are comparable then to an Uber or?
I mean, he's a little bit more than an Uber because it's, I would say it's a luxury transfer. I mean, but you can line it up in advance. Mm-hmm. He's great.
Nice. And the point of reference is really valuable there because sometimes with an Uber, we've all been there with an Uber or Lyft. You get in and you think, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. 4.95 is the rating. And you get in like, yeesh.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Right. So,
yeah, he was reliable, friendly. And, you know, he was in a Tahoe. So you could fit a ton of people in there. Mm-hmm. He has car seats. If you need car seats, you just let him know in advance, you know, how many you need and what kind you need. And yeah.
Okay. So what'd you think of that old steamship tub they sent you on the Wish? What did you think of that thing when you saw it in port, right? They barely seaworthy at this point. What did you think about that boat?
I cried.
Okay.
I saw it and I cried. It was amazing. So even just getting into the terminal, because this was, I don't know if I said this already, but this was my first Disney cruise. I had sailed Norwegian before, and once out of New Orleans, and then once out of Rome. And it was great. It was a great experience, but this was Disney. So, mm-hmm. you know, you had all the feels going into this, and, you know, the terminal's all decorated, and, you know, they have the big sculpture in the, I don't know if it's a sculpture, but the model, I guess the model of the ship, and yeah. It was great.
Did they announce you as you walked in still, Laura?
Yes, they did.
Wow. Yeah.
So Shelley Page and I got announced together and that grand atrium. Ugh.
So the kids saw a video on YouTube where they announce families as they walk in, and it was like the hook. And we've not gone on a Disney cruise. Honestly, you'll know this. When you start counting five in your family, that tab runs up there really, really quickly when you throw it. You know, so we've not done it yet, but they were like, oh, but they announced the family. I'd be like, I'll announce the family. Don't worry. Right.
Don't worry. The Malik family going to, you know, yeah. Texas Roadhouse.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah. It's just so magical. And you walk in, you see the chandelier. This ship is different than all the others. I mean, I've seen the videos and the pictures of the grand mm-hmm. atriums on the other ships, but, you know, this one's brighter. It's like white and, I don't know, just Cinderella's there. And if you've watched that Disney Plus special, you know that underneath Cinderella or, you know, Gus and, you know, you have Lucifer right there as a sculpture in the grand staircase. And it's just the details, okay. Disney details are just awesome.
Well, let's talk about some things just to get people familiar with the boat. So what was your accommodation? Was it inside? Was it an outside? Did you have a balcony? What was your specific accommodation?
We splurged and we went for a veranda.
Okay.
So we were on deck 7 and we were right off of the aft elevators, which was a great location. There are 2 sets of elevators on the ship. There's the forward and then the aft elevators. And, you know, depending on where your stateroom is, you could be walking for a while. I feel like in the hallways. So, you know, that's something to consider when booking, whether, you know, it doesn't matter what stateroom, inside Ocean View, veranda, or the concierge, uh-huh. you know, really look at that stateroom placement to see, because being right off the elevator was just so nice.
Okay.
Yeah. And on my TikTok, I did post a stateroom tour. So, yeah, if anyone wants to see that. So it was great.
Who are you on TikTok? What is your, how do we find you?
I'm _Disney_travel_lady.
Okay.
So I'll post that on the group, but
yeah, please do.
Yeah. So, and we were 3 adults staying in the veranda stateroom, and I will say we were very comfortable.
My next question, how many people we have? Yeah. All 3 stay. Okay.
Yeah. So in our stateroom slept 4, 2 in the queen bed, 1 on the twin pull-out sofa. And then we had 1 drop down from the ceiling. So I looked out and I got the bed.
Nice.
And then Shelly and Paige had the twin pullout couch and then the drop down. And they both said it was very comfortable. And the nice thing is on the Disney ships, you know, your stateroom host will take care of making your bed in the morning and getting your stateroom all ready for the day. And then at night they come back down for turn down service and they lower that bed with the ladder so that you don't have to do that.
Okay.
So that was really nice.
Compared to Norwegian, inside the cabin sizing, bigger, smaller? I know it's just a point of reference, but what did you say? It's bigger than it's something else that sails right now.
I mean, I would say it's about the same.
Okay.
I mean, different layout. I feel like every new ship that comes out, they just find more ways to better the storage and better the layout of everything to just make it better for guests. So mm-hmm. there's plenty of storage for all of our things, you know, 3 adults, and Shelly and Paige were staying for the Walt Disney World portion after. So they had extra luggage and there's enough space under the bed for all 3 of our suitcases. The closet was giant and huge. There was plenty of shelving at the vanity. And the nice thing about the veranda staterooms is that there's a split bath, which was huge for three adults trying to get ready for dinner. Mm-hmm. You had a shower and sink in one room, and then you had the toilet and another sink in the other bathroom.
Really smart for families too. Yeah, yes. Really smart for families. Okay.
Yeah.
If you've never been on a cruise before, it's so efficient in design. They maximize space in that cabin really well. Like whenever you go on an airplane, you kind of see them. Oh, there's the coffee machine up there. And like each thing has got this little like cabin and like compartment, and they fit it in so efficiently. Mm-hmm. And a cruise is the same thing. We're going to maximize every inch of space in here, and absolutely, it's going to be done. So it's really intelligent. Were there Disney touches in the cabin itself?
Okay. So on the Wish, every floor has like a theme. Mm-hmm. So our stateroom ended up having a Cinderella theme.
Okay.
So above the bed was a Cinderella mural. And then when the pull out or the pull down bed from the ceiling, in the ceiling, there was a little Cinderella saying. So when you went to sleep, you weren't just staring at a white ceiling. You were staring at the little Cinderella mural in the ceiling.
Oh, really cool.
It was so cute. So several other agents, we got to tour a Tangled room. We toured a Princess and the Frog themed room, Frozen. I'm trying to think what other. I think Moana was the other one that I saw.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's so some, you know, some guests are starting to be like, oh, I really want a Moana room. And so you have to get out those, you know, so hit social media and hit all the websites to see. yeah, because we had a Cinderella room, and then another group of agents was only, they were four doors down, and they had a Frozen room.
Oh, okay.
So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Let's talk about food. What were the options for you guys? Did they have still like the, they have three options? They rotate you guys around, or describe that, please.
Yes. So they had the rotational dining on Disney Cruise Line. So night number one, we were in the Frozen themed restaurant, Arendelle. And Arendelle celebrates Anna and Kristoff's engagement. So there's a little show that goes on throughout dinner. And they bring out Olaf, and they have singers, and Anna and Kristoff, and then Elsa comes out while you're eating. So depending on where you're sitting in the restaurant, you could have a prime view, or, you know, you can be in the back of the restaurant. It's, that one's very, it was very loud. That one was, it was great. I mean, the food was great, but the show was a little bit loud. Okay. So it was hard to hear. And that was our first night. So everybody was trying to play catch up with, you know, getting together. So it was kind of hard to hear everybody, but the show was great. It was nice to see Olaf coming around while the table was on his little cart. So that was cute. And then night number two was 1923. And I loved this one because it had like a formal atmosphere, I feel like. So if you wanted to dress up, we actually dressed up like we were in the 1920s.
I saw like flapper costumes, correct?
Yes.
I saw them. Okay.
So I ordered some stuff off of Amazon, and it was okay. My hair didn't cooperate, but we still had a great time.
Nice.
But we weren't the only one. So, you know, on like our Arendelle night, there was groups of people in the lobby doing their thing with, they were going to 1923, and they were all dressed up in Gatsby, you know, outfits. And then we had our group the night we were in 1923. And then the last night there was a group. So like, it was cool that other people thought it was a great idea to dress up like a 1920s. Theme, but that side, that restaurant had a Walt Disney side and then a Roy Disney side, and it's themed to like Walt and Roy. So there's a bunch of hand drawn pictures in there, a lot of mementos from the Walt Disney Company, and that's a really cool place. You could spend a lot of time.
Yeah, looking for, was the food like geared for like a 1920s or 30s menu? Was it like, not really?
I guess maybe. The nice thing is, I mean, so Arendelle had some more like seafood and I guess Norwegian inspired dishes.
Okay.
I feel like 1923 was more of a, like a pasta or steakhouse-y type menu. And then the last night was Marvel. And so that was more of a, I don't want to say science fiction, but you know, they had some eclectic things on the menu that were
Tell me they had shawarma.
You know.
From you. Would they have shawarma on them? Okay.
I think that night I had pasta, but.
Okay.
I don't remember, but it was fun to see, like, and then they had like a Marvel, really, I don't know, weird dessert type thing. Like everything was themed.
Gotcha.
So it was nice to have different options every night. You weren't like given the same thing. You could definitely get a steak every night. You know, there were some things on the menu that were the same, but they had something for everyone. And the nice thing about Disney Cruise Line is if you want to order every single appetizer, you know, there's no judgment. You can order all the things.
Okay.
So we all shared different things, and some of us ordered two entrees at a time, and you know, because it's all included. So,
Laura, let's say you wanted to eat away from there. Do they have options for you? Let's say you had a picky eater, right? You boarded with your 6-year-old, and they only want to have they only have chicken fingers. So they could probably get you chicken fingers at those dining rooms. Do they have a buffet, or is there other options for you to pick up food?
So for breakfast and lunch, the buffet is open, Marceline Market. And then up on deck, they have a little, I guess I would equate it to a quick service. So they had a pizza, they had a barbecue, and then they had like burrs and things up on deck. So you could go there, you know, at nighttime. The pizza was open, I believe, until midnight every night. That was the latest one that was open. And then you can get ice cream, of course, all day and night. So.
Did I read this right, that Pops included on a Disney Cruise Line?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Unlike the other ones. Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So on Norwegian, you have to get the drink package, and Royal Caribbean's the same way. You get the drink package, and you can get, you know, just a space soda, or you can, you know, get the alcohol as well. Mm-hmm. So on Disney Cruise Line, soda's included, and they have soda stations up on deck 24/7. You can go up there. So some people brought their own cups with. Disney, of course, wants you to use their cup first to fill up your cup, and then you can dump it into your cup. But those are available, and they have hot chocolate, coffee, and tea up there too. Okay. So, which is nice. You know, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Does Disney sell a drink package for alcohol on the boat?
There is no alcohol package. There is a wine. You can do something with wine. But yeah, you pay for your alcohol and specialty coffees, and some of the, there's a specialty ice cream shop, the Inside Out themed ice cream spot that would have specialty things for an extra charge.
Understood. Okay.
So, yeah.
What about options besides that? Was there a bakery you can pick up donuts or sweet rolls or like, what would fill your sweet tooth if you were just looking for like the middle of the day? Anything like that?
The ice cream on deck is 24/7. Okay. The buffet, you know, is open for that. And then like that Inside Out, which a 3-night cruise is not long enough, because there are areas of the ship I never got to see
100%
because there just wasn't time. And the Inside Out, I walked by it tons of times because it was right off the elevators, but I never once went in. So that was a place where I would have loved to just go in and see the snackage that they had, but I just never made it.
Or on a 7-night cruise for a boat of that size, we went on the Allure of the Seas from Royal Caribbean.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a big old boat. We hardly saw everything after 7 days.
I believe it.
You know, in the eating, honestly, on a boat like that, that is part of the attraction. That is part of the amenities, is every meal is a really good meal. Like you're never going to have this is a terrible meal. You're really enjoying that meal. So they take a little longer. You're not rushing through the meals anymore.
Yes. You know? And actually I got to experience Palo Brunch. And Palo, for those who don't know, is the adults only restaurant on the ship. They also have Enchanté, which is the adults only. And you pay an upcharge for Palo. So Palo Brunch was the best thing I've ever experienced ever.
Wow.
It was so good. It was so much food. You had to roll me out because it was so good. But that was an experience. That was about a 3-hour meal.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. And we did that on our Nassau day. And it was great, but you definitely, like, that's an experience. Like, it's an experience. You're not just eating lunch. You are there to enjoy the atmosphere and take in everything and, you know, enjoy the details of the restaurant. So we had the best server. So
You chose to do that experience over visiting Nassau. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and it actually worked out because it rained the entire day when we were in port in Nassau. So I didn't plan any shore excursions because, again, I knew I was only on that ship for 3 nights and I knew it wasn't going to be enough time to see everything. And, you know, this was, you know, a content gathering trip. I was trying to like take pictures of everything and soak it all in. And I just never got to see everything. So I knew I wasn't going to do any shore excursions on Nassau Day. So,
so I can't say I'm a cruising expert, but what I do know about cruises is when you land at port, you have the option to disembark the boat and experience everything and do all the, you know, extras on the island. You can go and pay for all the excursions you want, or just go into town and see the town, or you can stay on the boat. And people often leave the boat in droves, which leaves things like the wave rider or the, you know, the water slide or the aqueduct or whatever it happens to be, or whatever else is on the boat, largely unutilized. So if you really want to experience something, it's a great time. And, you know, honestly, in the Caribbean islands, some islands have a little different amenities than others. And some you kind of go on board and you're like, okay, well, that was kind of a one and done type option. We come back to the boat. But especially for you, great strategy to go and pick like the best brunch possible on a day. And they have their rate, right? That's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Let's talk amenities on the boat. What would there be for families to do that you just witnessed? What are some of the cool things? Like, did they have arcades or climbing walls, or what was the water slide? Was it the aqueduct? What was it?
It was the Aqua Mouse.
Okay.
Yeah.
So describe everything.
I did the Aqua Mouse. So that was cool. The Aqua Mouse is a little water slide, and you sit with, it's a 2-person water slide, and you're in a little raft. And you need to go up a ramp, and there's this little Mickey Mouse show that squirts water at you, of course. And then it's a water slide. Okay. And you're in the middle of the ocean on this water slide. It's just so cool. And you go off the ship a little bit, like it veers off. And at night, it all lights up with lights. You know, I will say that, you know, you'll have to wait for it. You know, there's a wait. I don't think it's a crazy wait. I think we waited about 30 minutes for it. The posted time was 60 when we got in line, and it was only 30. But that's an option. The nice thing about the Wish is that they've added extra pools. So there's more pools for kids and even adults. And actually, the adults area is one of those areas I never got to. But there's an adults only area with pools and everything too. But for families, you know, the main deck is the place to be. On embarkation day, I made a point to go down to the kids clubs because I really wanted to see what those were like, you know, trying to get convince my family that this is what we need to do and show the boys, you know, the kids clubs. And I think one of the coolest features of the kids clubs, and I'm sure everybody has seen it, but that slide off the grand atrium is, it goes right into the kids club. And one of the coolest things about the kids club, and everybody's going to call me crazy, but if you've seen it, you're going to agree with me. There is a hand washing station where you just put your hands in and it washes your hands for you. And it's like an amazing hand massage. Let me just say.
That's genius.
I was like, why aren't these everywhere on the ship? Why are they just in the kids clubs? So, okay. But in the kids club, there's a Star Wars themed area. There's a reading nook. There are video games. There's an arts and crafts. There's a Marvel section. You know, my kids aren't really into Marvel and Star Wars yet, but I can see that being a huge hit in the future. So, and then we did see the Small World Nursery, where that would, where's my littlest Aiden would go for ages 0 to 3. So that was really cool too, to see that there's little play areas and toys and cribs and little potty chairs and high chairs and everything. So
nice. What about for adults? What do they have there? Was there a dance, you know, what, I don't want to say a disco, but essentially like a place like that. Was there a sport? Was there a sports bar?
Yeah.
Was there a comedy club? Was there a climbing wall? What was there for adults?
So in difference in the other Disney ships is that some of the bars are spread out throughout the ship. So on the other ships, there's like the adults only district where everything is kind of centrally located. And on this ship, they're kind of spread out everywhere. And one of my favorite hangouts was the Bayou, which is right off the lobby, but it was themed to like Tiana's Bayou, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful little bar. And you can get, you know, alcoholic beverages and non-alcoholic beverages. And of course they had beignets there and different snackage. The Star Wars Hyperspace Lounge was really cool. I definitely had a try one of those galactic drinks that, was in that special too. If you've seen the Disney Wish special, and I have videos of and pictures of that too. You know, every 7 minutes you're going to hyperspace and you switch planets, and it's so cool. So yeah, there's a sports bar, you know, for if you want to, if that's your thing, or, there was like a lounge with, you know, I won't say disco, like you said, but that's the only word that's coming to mind, but me with too. Adult me activities. Too. Yeah. With exactly. Adult activities and things. You know, I will say that this ship, I feel like, is more geared for families. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things for kids to do, families to do. And of course it's Disney. But it was nice that there was an adults only area with pools and hot tubs. And of course the spa, you know, if you're looking for that relaxing experience, the spa is a great thing. So
nice. Yeah. They had a workout facility. They have a health club. Okay. Yep. Very good. Outside walking track. Was it midship or just on deck up at the top?
Midship. There was that one. And that was another thing. I never went out on that deck. I never went out on the promenade deck. I just never made it.
Okay.
Well, and part of the reason too was the weather. So every time I wanted to do it, it was just the weather. So.
Okay. So yeah, I have no doubts. I mean, this was a really fast cruise. You didn't even take the excursion, you know, you didn't disembark over at Nassau, but the whole highlight of when you take a Disney cruise is the Castaway Key visit, which we should state right here. If you take a Disney cruise and it's like, the only reason I'm taking this boat is to go to Castaway Key, we should state not every cruise is able to dock Castaway Key. And that's largely based upon weather and a variety of factors. So it's not a guarantee. They're in the itinerary, but there are some boats I know that just simply can't do it based on a variety of things.
Right.
But you did, correct?
Yes,
you
went we did.
All right. Yes, we did. Tell me all about your experience there.
Oh, Castaway Key. That is the reason to take a Disney cruise, other than the ship itself. Amazing. And I use this as an opportunity to definitely check out the adults only beach. So you get off the ship and, you know, everybody's oohing and aahing and taking all kinds of pictures. And there's a bunch of photo opportunities, and they have a bunch of, you know, photo pass photographers along the way. The nice thing about Castaway is, you know, if you have mobility issues or things like that, they have a tram that will take you to the family beach, that will take you to Pelican Point, and then take you off to the adults only beach. So I took advantage of that just to see what that was like. And it was really nice. It gave you a nice tour of the island, you know, on your way, and you got to see some kind of behind the scenes things. But for, you know, I'll start with the families. The family beach is awesome. It's definitely a little bit more rocky after being at Serenity Bay, but there's so much to do for the kids. And when I say rocky, I mean waves. You know, the actual beach itself is beautiful and pristine and everything. And there's a great little water park for the kids, like Pelican Plunge with the water slides and the water, you know, shooting things and
features for sure.
Yeah. Features, like all that kind of stuff. There is a kids club on Castaway too. So if you wanted to drop the kids off for an hour or two while you go to Castaway, you know, there's a play area there, and they do fun, you know, games and all kinds of stuff. And then the family beach has a restaurant that's included in your cruise fare. Okay. And then of course there's tons of merchandise, which is fun. Mm-hmm. So I spent my time at the adults only beach, and it's called Serenity Bay. And I think that's the perfect name for it because it was so serene. I couldn't get over it. It was perfect. So, and at the adults only beach, there's a restaurant over there as well. There's enough deck chairs for everybody. You get a deck chair and like a lounger. So, you know, you get both. There was umbrellas. There was a bar over there. They had servers come around to see if you wanted anything. So, and the nice thing is it's Castaway Keys included. It's included with your cruise fare. So for me, I didn't do any shore excursions, and I feel like at Castaway, I didn't need to because the beach in itself was perfect.
So there's shore excursions on Castaway Key as well too?
Yeah. So you could do like snorkeling. You could rent a bike. They have like parasailing, glass bottom. That's what I wanted to say. Boat tours and Things like that.
Laura didn't go to the bar. Right.
I actually only had one drink on Castaway Day. So, okay. Yeah. So there's plenty of opportunities. You could rent a pool float, you know, a float so you can float in the ocean as well. I was supposed to do that, but it was just, I didn't need to, because I didn't realize there was those chairs that I just could plop there on the beach and put my feet in the water, and it was great. So
when do you arrive and when do you have to leave for that particular day?
On our day, we were allowed off the ship about 9:30, and then all aboard was, I want to say it was 4:30 or 5. It was pretty late into the day. You're there pretty much all day. So, and the nice thing about Castaway too is you can come and go as you please. You just need to have your card, your Key to the World card, and then a photo ID. So you can come and go all day if you want to. And it's not that far. You know, so if you forget something on the ship or you want to go back and take a nap and then go back out to the ocean, you know, to the family beach or something, you can. Or if you just want to go back on ship and have lunch, you know, and then come back, you can. It's right there.
Or if you're 3 or 4 year old, just hit their exhaustion point.
Right. And they need a nap. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So
did it meet your expectations? Because you've researched this a lot. You've booked a lot of people on Disney cruise ships. And like, you only talked about it as a theoretical location up to this point. Did it meet your expectations?
It did. And I feel like as a travel agent, I'm even more inclined to sell this and know what I'm talking about. And especially like stateroom choices. I have a whole new perspective on where to put people. You know, you want to be certain places and certain decks. And we were on deck 7 and I feel like that was a really good deck, but I could see where deck 10 might be better for some families because you want to be closer to the top. You know, it was great.
Okay. What about, tell me how the payments work. And I know I'm not asking for like how much this costs, but like when you put money down for a Disney cruise, gratuities and stuff are automatically included. Is it a one or is it added on in addition, or do you leave a tip in the cabin, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, Disney? Those are good questions. I will say this, because everybody's looking to save the most money these days. I mean, that's one of the top questions I get is, you know, where's my discount? Disney Cruise Line, the best price you're going to get is that first like week that Disney Cruise Line announces their itineraries. So we are patiently waiting for summer 2024 to be released. So if you're looking at summer 2024, as soon as those are released and available for booking, I would put down a deposit because more than likely that's the best price you're going to see because prices are just going to go up as the ship fills. That's just how Disney Cruise Line does their cruise pricing. When you book, you make a deposit, and in most cases, the deposit is refundable unless you book a club level concierge. And then your final payment is due before your cruise, which, you know, I would let you know when it's due. But you can make as many payments as you want, which is a huge thing for people. Like, they want a payment plan type thing. And you can choose to prepay your gratuities. Or you can get charged on the ship. So on your last night of your cruise, you'll get paperwork in your stateroom asking how you want to divide your gratuities among your stateroom host, among your servers. And of course, you can add as much as you want to. So, you know, you're charged a per person per day rate. And then they divide that the way Disney Cruise Line thinks it should be divided. If you want to change that, if you want to up it, you want to give your stateroom host more money, you can always make those changes. And you can leave cash if you want to as well.
Okay, there was a question. I know we've always left additional cash in addition to what we were charged. So I just didn't know if that was still a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Your service on the boat, would you describe as equal to Norwegian? Because, I mean, we're Disney fans, right? So we're going to think, oh, this is the pinnacle, and they win all the awards. It was superior to a Norwegian cruise line? Or is everything approximate and maybe we're just, you know, we just tend to think Disney's so far.
I know, right? Like, I'm definitely living in the Disney bubble.
Yeah.
I mean, when I compare it though, I mean, I feel like it was on par with Norwegian.
Okay.
because I didn't have any bad experience on Norwegian, and I had a phenomenal experience on Disney. So, of course, you have the Disney magic of the cast members, I feel like, because that's what they're trained to do for us, you know, is just add that extra experience mm-hmm. of making, you know, that Disney difference, I guess, is what I want to go with. Okay. On Norwegian, it was great. I have no complaints, but there's definitely that Disney difference on Disney Cruise Line, and that's what you're paying for. That's, you know, I can everyone, see the added expense because it was there.
I think everyone who comes off the boat says the same thing. They're like, man, this was really expensive, but you know what? It was a good value. And it's hard for people to equate that, but it's a good value based on what you get, you know, mm-hmm. from that. Okay. So then you disembark the boat. This is your last day. You're back in port and
Sad day.
Is there an organization to this, or are they just like deck 1, 2, 3, 4, you guys go, or you all got to get out?
It's not as magical as you want it to be. So you have to get up early because Disney does want you off that ship by, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock at the latest. So
they got to turn it, right?
They have to turn it. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing what they can do in a morning because on our embarkation day, we were on the ship. I think they called the first group at 11 o'clock. So, and of course, staterooms aren't ready until 2. So that's something to keep in mind too on your embarkation day is your stateroom won't be ready until 2. So you're just kind of wandering around the ship until 2 o'clock. On disembarkation day, gosh, I don't know if I said that right. You can have breakfast, a sit down breakfast at the restaurant that you ate at the night before. So our last rotational dining was Marvel. So we had breakfast in Worlds of Marvel. And you had a sit-down breakfast. The buffet is open as well, so you can definitely get your fill, you know, get your last mm-hmm. official magical meal before you get off. And they do, if you chose to tag your luggage the night before, because Disney will take your luggage the night before and take it off the ship for you in the morning, so that way you don't have to lug around, you know, 5 pieces of suitcases, you know, around to the restaurant. So I just had a carry-on that morning. And then they call you by the way your luggage was tagged. So we were Tinkerbell. Okay. So when the Tinkerbell group was called, you just got off the ship and then you had to go through customs. So, it was very sad.
They all pointed through the exit and were like, you gotta go.
I stuck around as long as I could. I did. Cause I didn't, my flight that night wasn't until 9:50 at night. Oh, so boy. I was in no hurry.
Yeah, of course.
To get off the ship. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me just kind of, you know, guide people along in this process. So not many people have had a reference point for Disney Wish. And Laura mm-hmm. obviously is, you know, she's obviously a trusted friend. If someone wanted to book or ask you questions, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah. I'm on Instagram, the Disney Travel Lady with the underscores. On Facebook, I'm Laura Fitzpatrick, and I try to post in the group as much as I can. I comment on things, and then I'm on TikTok too, the Disney Travel Lady. My email is laurafitz@themagicforless.com.
Okay.
So, yeah, feel free to email me, text me, or, yeah, message me questions, anything you got. So, I had a great trip. The Disney Cruise Line, the Disney Wish was a magical trip. I'm so itchy to get back. I'll talk about it to anyone who'll listen.
Laura, describe the boat in 3 words.
Oh.
Just 3 words for this Disney Wish. And by the way, too, after hearing the story, honestly, I actually feel a little sympathies. I want to tell you my condolences for having to do all this for people.
I mean,
this
was, I know, right?
This is a terrible experience.
One for the team.
This was a terrible experience.
Yes, so. It was.
Okay, 3 words.
Oh, magical.
Not using magical.
Oh. Okay.
And not Wish and not Disney.
Okay. Luxurious would be 1. Does family friendly count because it's hyphenated?
That's 1. That's 1.
Okay. So luxurious, family friendly. I don't know. I just keep wanting to say magical because it just was a magical experience. I mean, there's just something for everybody, young, old. I mean, I saw little babies enjoying the little toddler woody splash pad area. I mean, I saw, I think a couple, they had to have been in their at least 70s. They were grandma and grandpa, and they were traveling by themselves. And they were in Palo with us having their brunch, and they were celebrating an anniversary. And, you know, it was just great.
All right. We'll let you have magical, but it raised one more question. Would you have considered the boat to be at a sellout status when you sailed?
When we got on, there was a sign that said no upgrades were available. They were at full capacity.
So full capacity.
Yeah.
Did it feel like full capacity? Because I've been on some boats where it felt like full capacity, and I've been on other boats that Allure was like 6,000 capacity.
Yeah.
And it felt spacious. And I was like, well, that's a big boat.
I would say the only time where I felt like, okay, this is crazy, was the buffet on Castaway Day at 9:15 in the morning. Okay. That was like, it was a little chaotic. But I think everybody just was eating breakfast at the same time, and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, no. Even the shows, coming out of the show with the chaos of everybody coming out those doors, it was fine. I don't know. Great. I think there's just so many places to spread out. So no, I would say it was great.
Nice. So. Okay. One more time. How can people find you again? One more time, Laura, give me the fastest way people to find you.
Probably my Facebook. I feel like I'm on my phone all the time, which is a bad habit, I know, but that's just what I do. So
we're all guilty.
I know. Laura Fitzpatrick on Facebook.
Okay.
So well, I am in the Dubs group, so on Facebook, so you can find me there.
Not a problem. Yeah. Well, Laura, honestly, I'm embarrassed to say this was the first time you were been back on for like years.
Not as embarrassed as I am. So
we're going to remedy that. But obviously, if you've listened to this first part of the show, Laura's been busy in life and she's got a lot going on right now.
I'm thankful that I was able to sit down with you and have no children wake up during this recording. So that was great.
Minor victory. All right, everybody. So we appreciate you listening. And if you have any questions, again, reach out to Laura. And for that, we'd like to wish you a great day, everybody.
Thanks. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening.